Welcome to Banana Bites. In this segment of the podcast, we go live on Dataiku's LinkedIn and Twitter every other week to talk to you about the latest in data science and AI. Our 15-minute bites are here to fuel your afternoon snack time with easy-to-digest food for thought. Hi, welcome to Banana Bites. I'm Trevaini, and with me are Chris and Corey. Say hi, boys.
Hi, boys.
And we are the Banana Data Podcast crew. So what is the Banana Data Podcast? Well, it's a bi-weekly podcast on data science, AI, fun stuff. And this little bite is just a quick live stream we do every other week to talk about something new and exciting in the world of AI. So I am going to turn it over to Corey, who's kind of like our adventure master here, if you will. And he has something interesting to talk to us about today.
Thank you, Trevaini. And before we start our adventure, today's title of the episode is Misinterpreted Data and Understanding Uncertainty. If you have any uncertainty about anything that we talk about today, please feel free to ask a question and we will answer it.
Hopefully about data stuff, right? Not just about like life problems.
We'll try both. We can't guarantee. You'll see the theme of today's episode is we can't really guarantee anything.
The answer is great too.
Yeah. So here's the adventure. I'm shopping, guys. I'm looking to buy stuff. I'm looking to buy all-purpose cleaner. And there's two advertisements, and one says that this cleaning spray kills 99% of all germs. But the other one says that it kills 99.99% of all germs. Which one kills more germs?
They're the same amount, let me tell you, okay? That's a scam, right? This is like the classic sort of marketing thing of people aren't going to really take the time to process what it means for something to be 99% versus 99.9. And so let's capitalize on that and try and like get people to buy ours because we have a better claim.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, this begs the question also of a little bit about this topic of statistical versus practical significance. I feel like we can certainly claim that, you know, our cleaner is 99% effective or 99.9% effective. But in other scenarios, maybe that additional 0.9% really doesn't matter or really is not going to give us a big return on investment for that extra amount. So there's also something to be considered there for the balance between like, do we really care about that extra 0.9%? What's the money tag associated with that for different industries or different applications besides cleaner? And do we want that? Do we care? I don't know.
You know, and it's interesting. I think in a lot of research capacities, and this is probably where they got the 0.99 from, you know, there's this term called star chasing, which is to say that like, I made a model and the results are so significant that I have to put a star on them to tell you that like, wow, these are really, really significant. But honestly, as a result, a lot of people are then building models, building experiments designed to get that star. Mm-hmm. Whether or not like those experiments, those like constraints are practical in real life doesn't matter to them. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's another kind of concern of these sorts of gimmicky kinds of statements, because oftentimes there's going to be some sort of caveats around it. And no one's really going to sit there and think about, oh, well, did they actually test it in the way that I wanted them to test it?
Do you know which one I bought?
Which you bought one? The 99.99.
No, the one that was less expensive. Moving on. moving on.
Okay, that's what we have for today, folks. Yeah. We'll be here all week.
If we apply this to more serious or different types of examples, if we're looking at not just advertising gimmicks, but modeling data and presenting the data, if we're looking at something that's very relevant right now, you know, in the U.S. for our U.S. audience, there's an election coming up in November. There are polls that are going out. There are a number of polls that are already released today. There are a number of models that are built in based on polling. And it comes to uncertainty. I saw a tweet, actually a really good tweet yesterday from Ariel Edwards-Levy, who works for HuffPost, where she says, I really hope that people research and understand what margin of error means between now and the rest of this week. But if we're looking at uncertainty, if we're looking at a lower end spectrum of a poll or a model that says that X candidate has X percentage chance of winning, and one that we look at a higher end of the spectrum, you know, what is the how do we look at confidence intervals of that? How do we know which poll is right or which is wrong? Or how do we actually accurately take in that data and understand it? Maybe the right versus wrong is not the right way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. I think for something like this, you really have to consider context. And so let me maybe give an example here that may relate back to the polling example. But let's say you've got like a weight loss program and you get to the end of that program and you say, my claim is that on average, you're going to lose 2 pounds over the course of this month. That is the average claim. But if you're looking at uncertainty, maybe some people lost up to 4 pounds. Maybe some people actually didn't lose any weight. And the margin of error there is about 2 pounds on either end of the spectrum. So you could have the result that you're not looking for or even gain weight on the very far end of the other spectrum. But the claim, the average, is kind of falling on one side or the other side of the fence. So for something like polling, if you have to consider that margin of error, you could have a complete opposite conclusion, you know, in some scenarios, and you kind of have to take that into account when you're considering the bottom line of these studies.
Yeah, I'm definitely the person who gains weight on her diet. Like, that's not even a question. But yeah, I think like that's the thing, is the margin of error is like the way for you to know how uncertain people are in their model or how confident they feel in saying that this is like possible. And it kind of goes back to the statistical significance in a way, like from the mm-hmm. mathematics side of it. But I think that like we tend to like over/underestimate what the margin of error is really doing. So-and-so is likely to win this campaign or this election with a 70% chance, plus or minus 15. Whoa. That means like actually it's a 55% chance they might win or an 85% chance. And like it will fall anywhere in there. And like, I don't think we as consumers, right, like think about like what that width really means. Mm-hmm. And even if you say so-and-so has a 70% chance of winning and the margin of error is razor sharp, right? Like 70 and 71% is the like the error. You know, I don't know. Like now I'm more uncertain because who can ever really make a polling model or some sort of prediction with that much confidence, right? Mm-hmm. And so like, I think the point I'm trying to say is that the uncertainty is not only built into the margin of error, the uncertainty is also built into the model. So just because your margin of error is low doesn't mean that we've handled for all uncertainty.
Yeah. And another thing too, another step after that too, in real life manifestations of these types of processes, we really only get one shot. Right. Yeah. So, for example, even if we got the model and it's built and like you said, the example is we are 70% sure that so and so is going to win in this campaign with a margin of error that is so small that we are 70% sure it's going to happen. There's still a 30% chance that it's not going to happen because you only get one kind of process shot in the dark, so to say. So yeah. There is another level of uncertainty where even if you're sure of your result in terms of the balance between chances, how do we, you can't necessarily predict the future. We're not clerics here.
Yeah, that's exactly right, right? Like the 70% is just a percent. It's not like a guarantee, right? And so it's still like gambling, right? Mm-hmm. If you gamble here, you have a 50% chance that you're going to win. Okay, but what's my over time actual winnings? That's the bigger question that we should be asking versus what am I going to get in one shot?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of questions, we do have a question. Are there specific criteria needs to be established from valid conclusions from data?
So specific criteria, that is actually kind of like a bit of a broad term. I mean, in experimental design, there's various different things that you might want to consider. So for example, internal versus external validity. Internal validity is much more the concept of like, am what I quantifying in my experiment actually informing a cause and effect relationship with the outcome? So, if I have students in an exam room taking an exam, does that really quantify their IQ score, their aptitude, or is it quantifying their knowledge of the specific material on that exam? External validity is also something to consider, which is like, okay, if I'm trying to assess within the confines of my experiment, can I generalize this to a bigger population outside of the experiment? So there's a lot of different criteria that go into the nitty-gritty of various different elements like that. And typically when running experiments or thinking about studies in the real world, to a discerning eye, you really want to dig down and deep into each of those before really putting faith into an ultimate conclusion.
Yeah, I think like the sort of it depends answer is right, because it depends on the use case and how it's getting deployed and all of these things. But, you know, more importantly, are we actually sharing back the it depends part of it? Or are we saying, well, this model is valid because we said so, right? But it's only valid according to these constraints that we put around it. Mm-hmm. So have I told you what those constraints are, or am I making you assume that there are constraints or no constraints?
Yeah. So whenever I talk about this topic, I always think of one of my favorite movies, which is Legally Blonde. And there's a moment where Elle Woods is in a conference room and she says, oh, this person could not have killed that person because they exercise a lot, and exercise makes you have endorphins, and endorphins make people happy. Happy people just don't kill their husbands. And there's like a lineage there of a logical concept of like, this implies this, implies this, implies this. And you're making a claim based on an assumption that travels across a lot of different topics. And certainly within data science, the criteria to make the connection between point A and point B within a study is something that you really need to scrutinize.
Yeah, and that lineage itself, right? Like how you decide to make that lineage is a choice, right? And so like, if you're not explaining where you got that choice from, then, you know, like Elle Woods probably knows that exercise gives you endorphins, endorphins make you happy because she's exercised and gotten happy before, right? And so I think that like being aware of why that is the specific criteria you've chosen for your data validation is also really important.
Mm-hmm. We still have some time for some questions, but while we still have some time, I think I want to shift this over more towards general responsibility. I know we were just touching on that. You know, whether it's an advertising example, whether someone who works at a company that produced the cleaning spray, whether it's someone who's a data scientist for Data IQ, or whether it's Nate Silver at 538, whose responsibility is it to stand by the data and also accurately explain the you know, the pretty parts with the asterisks that provide all of the information that we might not be communicating? You know, for example, whose responsibility is it to explain uncertainty so that everyone understands that, and how do you do that for a broad audience?
Well, if you're Nate Silver putting out a model, and I'm probably going to get in trouble here, if you're Nate Silver putting out a model, you should be also explaining, what does it mean? What does uncertainty mean, right? And like, have a primer on your website. Or marketing people, you know, I love marketing. Some of my best friends are in marketing, but you know, they're not going to be inclined to say, by the way, these claims, this is what they really mean, right? So like, it's a matter of what's your end goal, right? If your goal is really to just say, here's some information, I want you to draw your own conclusions, then you should be giving all of the information. You can't give half of it or like, assume knowledge on the part of the consumer. Mm-hmm. I think, in fact, what happens is that a lot of people and companies and whatever take advantage of that fact, mm-hmm. and like, as a result, give less information than needed to make a good conclusion. And so I think it's really on the people producing the data science, the people who are standing by it and like saying that this is our product, this is our model, whatever. They have to be also providing the full context.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the onus certainly is on those who are making these grand claims. But until the paradigm shifts such that onus is really taken on, we as consumers really do need to do as much of a due diligence as possible to read the asterisks, read the fine print, really kind of understand what these claims are, whether it's the asterisk on a cleaner or, you know, in a lot of legal terms, sometimes in conversations, people say allegedly, wink, wink, you know, so it's kind of like that disclaimer of like, here's what I think my claim is, but that could all be wrong. And so you can't hold me accountable. So, you know, rather than trying to, paddle through the weeds there in terms of what people are actually saying, really do our own due diligence to try to at least observe and take in as much knowledge as possible by virtue of reading that fine print.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Corey, for that fun little adventure to the supermarket. I think that's all the time we've got for today. But as always, you can find more of us here on these live bites every other week, or the Banana Data Podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. Say goodnight, boys.
Good night, boys.
And that's all we have for our Banana Bites today. To catch our live segments, follow Data IQ on LinkedIn or Twitter for bi-weekly live streams.